Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, one of our favorite Bible stories is the story of David and Goliath. And David is this small teenager. He faces Goliath, who is this giant warrior. Goliath was over 9 feet tall, and the Bible says that he came prepared for battle with a bronze helmet on his head. He had bronze armor covering his entire body. He had bronze greaves that were on his legs. He had a huge iron-tipped spear in his hand, one hand, and he had a huge shield in the other hand. And David, this little shepherd boy, is going to go out in the name of God and battle against this giant. Saul, who was the king, saw that this was about to happen and thought he needed to step in and help David. And he needed to give David some weapons to fight the battle with. So Saul took his armor off. And the Bible says Saul was a head taller than everybody else. And Saul took the armor and the weapons that would fit him, and he tried to put them on this small teenager, David. And I can only imagine that it looked comical for David to walk around in this armor with this, probably this sword dragging the ground. And David only walked around for a little bit before he said, you know what, this is not going to work. These weapons are not going to work for me in this battle. And so David took the armor off and handed the spear back, and he grabbed what God had prepared him with, and that was a sling in one hand and some rocks in his pocket. And with those weapons, David walked out onto the field of battle to face the giant. And everybody laughed, and everybody sneered, and everybody mocked, and everybody said, we know how this is going to end. But Scripture says that David courageously answered, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. And God did exactly that. Goliath stepped forward to attack. David put a stone in his sling, and with one swoop, that stone sunk into Goliath's forehead, and the giant fell over dead. And the Bible sums it up like this. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine, and he killed him. Now, I wonder if Paul did not have that story in mind when he wrote to the church. And the Holy Spirit said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We'll talk a little bit later about how we can put that into practice. In the meantime, let's continue to worship God. I'm pausing because I'm contemplating going off my notes. It always scares me a little bit. Yes, would you please pray for me? But something Paul said this morning just struck me, and something in the songs. And it connects to what I have prepared to say. Paul talked about the simple things, that God has given us. Paul also talked about the reality of all the things that we have built up and put store in, and they could all be taken away. Last Sunday, in the 20s faith community, Jeremy showed a video clip from Francis Chan, probably someone you've heard of. And Francis Chan was speaking to a large group in a large setting. And just in the little clip that I saw, he said, you know, I'm not a prophet. I'm not pretending to be a prophet. But he said, as I look around and I see what's going on around me, I can't help but believe. And he kind of spread his arms and he said, I can't help but believe that what we are doing now, gathering as large groups in a really nice place with one man up here preaching and speaking, he said, I can't help but believe that sometime soon what we're doing is going to be labeled hate speech, and it's going to be against the law. He said, but I'm not a prophet. But he said, that's what I'm preparing for. It's what I want to be ready for. And then, in the middle of this week, I found out that in Canada, and this connects to us because there's something you don't know that we're preparing for that involves a man from Canada coming here to talk pretty plainly to us in September about God's plan and biblical sexuality. And in Canada, and I can't read the law verbatim to you, but the way it was communicated to me, to say things like that has now been labeled hate speech. And so a group of preachers in America last Sunday, to show support to Canadian pastors and preachers, and in some way spiritually to make a statement, a group of well-known preachers in America last Sunday, all on the same day, preached sermons on biblical sexuality. And every week, most of those preachers get their sermons posted all over social media. But this week, YouTube labeled one of them hate speech and removed it. That seemed a little close to home. Seemed like Francis Chan may be a prophet after all. Francis Chan went on to make the point that we need to be prepared and we need to be ready. And he held up two examples from history. Two nations where communism came in and took over. And communism at its core is an atheist philosophy, opposed to God. And so in both of those nations, immediately the church began to be persecuted. One of those nations was Russia, and Russia had a long history of Christianity. But Christianity in Russia was built on this. Christianity in Russia was built on buildings and cathedrals. It was built on a hierarchy of clergy, of priests and preachers and of professionals. And when the communist government began to strangle that and shut that down, Christianity in Russia suffered because the people didn't know what to do without the professionals. But he said there was another nation that also was taken over by communism, a nation that did have a minority of Christians, but had no strong history of Christianity, and that nation was China. And that the communists under Mao in China began to persecute and strangle the church. And there were a handful of professionals that were put in work camps and prisons. But Christianity had grown in China in a different way, and it wasn't dependent on pastors and preachers. It wasn't dependent on buildings and institutions. It was built on individual Christians in their homes and in their villages being the church and making disciples. And since they already knew how to do that under communism, the church in China exploded and is stronger and is greater than it has ever been. And I can't help but think that it's because of the simple things. The people were prepared and they were ready. And folks, I'm not a prophet. And honestly, and I'm not saying this like to get sympathy, on any given day, I don't really know that I'm very good at what I do. I'm very aware of my limitations. But I'm also more aware than I have ever been that our God is an awesome God. And I'm more aware than I have ever been that the tools and the resources and the weapons that I was trained in and that I put faith and confidence in and that I have built my ministry on for 30 years are inadequate and ineffective and could very easily be taken away. But God said that we're not to fight with the weapons of this world anyway. That He has provided us with divine weapons, spiritual weapons that can and will demolish strongholds. And so over the last few years, the way I would phrase it is that politics and pandemic have forced me to lay aside most of the weapons and resources that I had been trained and taught to use. And I have become more dependent on God than I have ever been in my entire life. And I'm thankful for that. And I have tried over the last few years to train you, instill in you, prepare you with those weapons. And they're very simple weapons. And they cannot be taken away, no matter what else is taken away. And we could go to Ephesians, and we could see the armor that God has given us in Jesus Christ. We could see a number of defensive things that we absolutely must put on every single day. And you've heard me say before that it's always striking to me that almost all those weapons are defensive. And they have their place. And they're more numerous than the offensive weapons. It strikes me that the offensive weapons that we have at our disposal in Ephesians 6 are the sword of the Spirit. This is where I wish I were old-fashioned and had my Bible instead of this. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer. Those are the simple, powerful, divinely inspired weapons that God has given His church. The Word of God and prayer. And as we read through Scripture, those two weapons are almost always accompanied by fasting. Jesus himself, when he faced his enemy, faced him after 40 days of prayer and fasting. And when he faced him, he won by using the Word of God. And if that's what Jesus did, how much more must we do the same thing? To stay standing and to remain fighting and in the Lord to be victorious. Jesus taught that to his apostles. They watched him. They listened to him. They learned from him. And as they were sent out, they used the same resources and the same weapons that Jesus Christ himself had used. And as they taught the church learned from the apostles to use prayer and fasting and the Word of God to expand the kingdom of God and to push back against the dark kingdom of our enemy. And if that's what the apostles and the church used, how much more must we be prepared and ready to handle those weapons? And so over the last few years, we've spent a lot of time learning about prayer. We've spent time practicing and learning the discipline of fasting. Always encourage you to stay in the Word of God. And all of those things come together in Awaken. And by the way, since I get to be the face and the voice of this church, I get to hear things that you don't get to hear. And I just want you to know that other people in this city have said to me, thank you for 10th and Broad. Thank you for bringing Awaken to our city. Thank you for making us aware and making it possible for us to pray by name for the people in our city. And so I pass on that thanks that others in this city want you to know about. But I'm excited and I'm ready to spend 30 days praying and fasting for the city of Wichita Falls, for the people in the city of Wichita Falls. And I want you, every single one of you, to be involved. I want you to participate. I want you to step up. And like David, take off the armor that you don't need. Take off the weapons that you no longer can use. And pick up the weapons God has trained you to use. The simple, powerful weapons of prayer and fasting and the Word of God. And so I want to ask you to go get a packet today. And in that packet, you're going to find several resources. One, you're going to find a folder. And in that folder, it's going to have instructions for you. And in that folder, it's going to have a list of 15 people by name, 15 households in this city that God has given you to pray for. And that's why we need all of you to participate, because it's going to take all of us in all these nine churches if we're going to pray for every person in Wichita Falls. And so in that packet, you're going to get a folder. And this is going to start on February the 1st, and it's going to go to March the 2nd. 30 days of prayer and fasting. 30 days of using the weapons that are divinely empowered to break down strongholds in the city, in the households, and in the families that we're going to be praying for. Also, besides that folder, you're going to find several books. One of those books is a yellow book called Revival Starts Here. Really, really, really encourage you to take just a couple of hours is all it would take to read that book. Folks who've already done so have come to me and said, wow, Ken, this book is really good. It is simple and direct and easy to read, and it's teaching me things. And so I want you to read that book, Revival Starts Here. And what that book is going to help you do is know how you're going to fast over these 30 days. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. The other book you're going to find in there is a blue book called Jesus Next Door. That's the book you're going to use over the 30 days. Every day has a devotional, and every day has very specific things for you to pray over the 15 people who are on your list. Also, just want to add here that last year we did this, but we prayed for 8 people of our own choosing. That is still on the back of this folder. And so if you want to add to the 15 that you're given, you can still choose 8 people that you want to pray for and fast for. But this book's going to help you do that over the 30 days. There's also going to be some cards in there that you're going to get to write a note at the end to the 15 people that you have prayed for. There's 2 options for you to purchase folders. If you still have your yellow and blue book from last year, which I hope many of you do, and I hope you're going, okay, where did I put that? Go home, find those. And then there's a packet out there for $5 that only has the list and the folder in it. You don't need to purchase the books again if you already have those. But if you can't find the books, or you're new, or you didn't do this last year, we also have folders that cost $10 that have all of these resources in them. And the elders, everything, the 5 and 10, it really cost 10 and 20, but the elders already paid for half of it. And so they're only asking you to pay for half of it. And if that is a burden, we just want you to have one, because we want you to be a part of praying and fasting over our city. So those are on a table in the atrium. Please, please go ahead and pick those up this morning, because you need to be ready and prepared by February. And you need to be ready having decided how you're going to fast. And so let's talk about that for just a minute. That yellow book, again, is going to help you do that. And it's going to describe to you several kinds of fasting. And one of those is called soul fasting. And I don't know who coined that phrase, but soul fasting is fasting when you're going to fast from something other than food. In Scripture, almost always, fasting is fasting from food. But as that discipline has been practiced, there are some folks who choose to fast from things other than food. It may be that you fast from television, or it may be that you fast from social media, or that you fast from something else that you do, a hobby you have, or a way that you spend some of your time on a regular basis, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to give that up for 30 days. And that's called a soul fast. And that's a very legitimate thing for you to do. Last year, for my fast during Awaken, that's what I did. I decided I would fast from all screens except for the work I have to do. But any other use of screens, I said, I'm not going to do that for 30 days. And that ended up being a really good time for me, because what I decided to add, since I was going to fast from screens, is I was going to read through the whole Old Testament in 40 days. I didn't make it. The Old Testament is long, but I did finish it. And I learned some things from that that God ended up using to lead me to a ministry in our city this year that I started teaching at the mission. And that was all because in reading the Old Testament fast like that, it struck me as it had never struck me before, how much God loves and cares for poor people. And I honestly was convicted by the fact that I did not. And I thought, I need to be closer to the heart of God and align myself. And so I began to pray and ask God how I could do that. And it ended up leading me to teach at the mission. I'm only saying that to say, I only know how to use myself as an example, not because I think I'm anything, but this is how God works in my life. And I want to give Him glory and praise for that. But it was because of prayer and fasting that all that happened. There's others in this room who I know have stories that they've shared with me of how God used the season of prayer and fasting last year, not just to work in the lives of people you were praying for, but to work in your life. Anyway, soul fasting is one of the ways that you can fast. The idea is to give up and sacrifice something so that you can open yourself up to God, to say no to something so that you can say yes to God, to show Him that you are very serious about this. It's a way to obey Jesus when Jesus directly said, you got to deny yourself if you're going to follow me. And And so fasting is a way that we obey Jesus and deny ourselves and trust that he said, when you die to yourself and when you deny yourself, that is when you're really going to live. Another level of fasting is partial fasting. Partial fasting is when you give up certain kinds of food. Not that you give up all foods, but you give up certain kinds of foods for a period of time. It's very often called a Daniel fast because Daniel said, when they said, we want you to eat all this rich food as we train you, as we get you prepared, the Babylonians said, we want you to eat our food because this is the resources we have to get you strong. And Daniel said, you know what? No, that's not from God. He said, he said, test me in this. Let me only eat vegetables and water for 10 days and see if God doesn't make me strong. And if he does, then let me and the others do that. And so Daniel, that's why it's called a Daniel fast. And God did make Daniel strong because God's weapons and God's resources are better than those of the world. So a Daniel fast is when you choose to give up some foods. Paula and I just finished a Daniel fast, the first 21 days of this year. We gave up all meat and dairy products and only ate vegetables and water. And as a guy who raises beef, I'm just going to tell you, that was hard. And because of that, I really don't want to give up food during the awaken fast. I'm still praying about that. But if you choose a partial fast, you would choose what foods you're going to give up. Another level is called minor fast. And this is where you abstain from food like during the day. Maybe you skip breakfast and lunch, and then you just eat a meal in the evening. You drink water or juice during the day. And a lot of us have practiced that as we've practiced fasting on the first day of each month. But that could be something you decide to do, that over the 30 days, you're not going to eat breakfast and lunch. You're going to fast through the day and then eat at night. That would be called a partial fast. And then there is what's called a major fast, and that's where you give up food and drink for 24 consecutive hours or more. And probably not many of us have done that kind of fasting. And if you haven't, I don't suggest you do that for 30 days. That's not the way to start. Jesus did it for 40, but he was more ready for it than you and I would be. But that might be a way that you involve fasting during the 30 days, that there may be some days that you choose to abstain from food and drink all day long. If you do something like that, and you want to use, you're going to abstain from a meal or from meals, and you want to use that time to pray, I've got a resource for you. And I think that's how I'm going to spend my time. I think one of the ways I'm going to fast is I'm going to fast from lunch every day over the 30 days, and I'm going to spend my lunch hour praying. And there's a resource I've got for you on the back table, on paper format. We're also going to get it put on our webpage under the prayer and fasting resources. But it's a prayer wheel, and it's got 60 minutes, an hour, broken up into 5-minute segments. And each segment has a prayer prompt. And this has been a good way that I have learned to pray for an hour, because I'll be honest with you, that's not something that I had learned to do. And it was hard to imagine, okay, how am I going to pray for an hour? And so this prayer wheel has helped me just use 5-minute increments and have prayer prompts. And so if you decide during the season of prayer and fasting that you want to set aside a meal and use that time to pray, pick up one of those prayer wheels. I really encourage you to use that. It's a great tool. And we need tools to help us learn how to do these things. But whatever you choose to do, pray about it, be prepared, and be ready, having made a positive, conscious decision that this is how I'm going to seek the Lord. This is how I'm going to pray and fast over these 30 days of awakening. And that's Awaken Wichita Falls. And I truly, honestly am ready to see how God's going to be at work. How God's going to be at work in you. What God's going to do in you. What God's going to say to you. How God's going to change you. how God is going to awaken you to Him, into His grace, into His mercy, into His plan, into His kingdom. I'm ready to see how God's going to awaken you. I'm ready to see how God is going to awaken His church, His people in Wichita Falls, to the lost, to those who are searching, to those who are hurting, to those He is drawing to Himself. And I'm excited and ready to see how God's going to awaken our city one household at a time. Not all of them will follow or listen, but some of them will. And some of them are going to be ready. And it's going to be because you sacrificed and committed and prayed and fasted, and God is going to honor you like He honored David. And He's going to push back against the kingdom of darkness. And He's going to rescue those who are searching and who are ready and who are seeking. And He's going to bring them into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the dear Son that He loves. I believe it. I'm ready for it. Because we're not going to use the weapons of the world. We're going to use divinely inspired weapons that demolish the strongholds that Satan has people captured in. So would you pray with me? In fact, would you stand as we pray? God, I am thankful for what You are teaching us. And I am even thankful for politics and pandemic. When You use them to teach us what You need us to know. And when You use them to cause us to repent of things we put our hope and our faith in, our trust and our confidence in. I'm thankful when You use them to give us new tools and new resources and new weapons. Father, I'm thankful for a church who loves You and who is committed to You and who doesn't grow weary and give up. I'm thankful for people who are committed to You, committed to each other, committed to Your Son Jesus, and committed to His mission. I'm thankful for people who are putting themselves on the line and asking and inviting others to join them in following Jesus. I'm thankful for people who have learned from You to sacrifice and to fast and to pray in ways we've not done before. Thankful for people who are listening to You, who are seeking You as they have never sought You before. Father, I'm thankful for other churches and other people in our city who have come to stand alongside of us and to seek You in prayer and fasting for the people in our city, for the lost, Lord. I'm thankful that You reminded me this morning that You're the God who will leave the 99 and go and find the one that is lost, and You will save them. Father, I thank You in advance that You're going to do that. There's no doubt in my mind You're going to do that. And I thank You for other churches who are standing in line with us to pray and to fast and to seek You on behalf of the lost in our city. And I'm thankful that when You save, You're going to change people's lives. You're going to call them out of the world. They're going to repent. They're going to leave behind sin. They're going to be baptized. You're going to give them Your blessing. You're going to give them forgiveness. You're going to give them Your Spirit. You're going to give them a new heart. They're going to be new creatures. And the blessings are going to flow in them and into their families and their descendants for generations. I'm thankful in advance that You're going to do that. I'm thankful for what You're going to do in us, God, pray that many, 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 many in this room would open themselves up to you during these 30 days in ways they never have before. And that as they seek and as they knock, you would answer and you would come. And you would make them more and more and more into the image of your Son, which is your goal for us. I'm thankful that you are magnificent and strong and able and wonderful. That you are holy and perfect and good. That you are long-suffering and forgiving and patient and kind and merciful. Thankful for Jesus. Thankful for everything that he gave up, everything that he took on himself, everything he did to save us and to disarm the powers and authorities. Thankful for the Holy Spirit who is with us and abides with us and teaches us and reminds us of what Jesus said. Thankful for the church, for people, the strength and encouragement that we draw from each other and from you, for the good that you do through us in each other's lives and in our city and community. Father, I'm just thankful this morning, and I'm ready. So I ask you to come, Lord Jesus. Amen.